Starting a business is hard. I know. I'm still in the thick of it. There are all these logistics, a certain kind of language you use. You have to learn to invoice people, make sure they pay you, and make sure you're not spending more money than you have. Womp womp. People want to make that easier for you. People like FreshBooks. FreshBooks is simple, quick, and provides you with the essential bells and whistles that you need to get your feet off the ground if you're freelancing for the first time or starting your own small business. You can create easy-to-read and record invoices, and you can track your cash flow. If you're curious, try it for free. Go to freshbooks.com/millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's, and support the show by telling them how you heard about it. Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase.
And what's it like to like structure and narrate your own life?
Was there any fear about exposing this part of your life to the world?
When I first started making Millennial, I didn't expect thousands of strangers to listen to it. But that's what's happened. There are tons of people who I don't know listening to intimate moments of my life. And people are constantly asking me how I feel about this.
I am not the type of person to sit across the table from you and tell you that my parents split up. I don't get personal with people who I don't know and who aren't in like an immediate circle of friends. When Ben pitched this idea to me, he actually didn't think I was going to do it.
When I brought up the idea of you making like a podcast about yourself and your experiences, I couldn't imagine you being that open.
Why not?
You know, you kept things hidden and you liked your privacy. You just wouldn't share things about your life. You didn't seem like you wanted people to know. And if people knew things about your life, you're almost sort of like, not offended, but you're just like, why don't you stay out of my life?
That's true. I am a private person, if you can believe that. So why am I sharing, some may even say oversharing, details of my life with strangers, details that I haven't even told my own sister? I never thought about my transparency online until I met Charlie.
Why isn't this scary for you?
It is scary. It is actually a little bit terrifying. I want to believe that people want to listen.
He's a listener who's going out of his way to tell the whole world a secret he's never told anyone. And his intentions force me to think about my own. Why do we publish our secrets online but keep them from the people who are closest to us? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about what no one teaches you, how to maneuver your 20s.
A recent article in Time magazine takes a sharp poke at the millennial generation.
This particular generation was 3 times more narcissistic than previous generations.
Everybody knows everything about them.
Oversharing has its consequences.
And that all of that oversharing can actually wreck a relationship.
Some say it's that feeling of instant celebrity with each post for all to see.
It's safe to say that millennials have a reputation for crossing the sharing too much information boundary. And I'm guilty too. I mean, this podcast is a hyper-focused, self-reflective audio documentary about me. It's like one big, big selfie. But why do we do this?
Yeah, I just told a story about somebody I know who would use the internet to shame an ex-wife because she had cheated on him.
This is my friend Phil. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we're hanging out on his back porch when I bring this question up.
I think Facebook is a feeding ground for narcissists.
This is Olivia, and she doesn't exclude herself from being one of those people.
And we all have a little narcissist in us. And I'm going to be honest here. I look at my own timeline more than I look at anyone else's. I'm more interested in myself than I am in other people.
You do post a lot. I read those.
I post a lot. I post a lot. And I would be borderline oversharing.
Gotta love Olivia for her honesty, you know?
So each is a cry for something. You know, I'm looking for the likes and the attention of people to notice that I'm funny. I'm trying to make people laugh and get them to comment and let me know that I made them laugh.
It's a weird world. You couldn't do this back in newspaper days.
When I look around online, I see this kind of sharing, this kind of oversharing everywhere. I've been battling the stomach flu for the last 8 hours. This is what I ate for lunch today. This time tomorrow, we'll know whether the baby is a boy or girl. My dog's eye is bigger than the other. I'm very thankful that I'm feeling better. I think it's easy to look at all of this and blame Facebook or the internet, or to say that millennials are attention-starved or overly self-indulgent. And sure, people post too many unimportant details about themselves on a daily basis. But when I look closer, amidst all of this noise, there's also another kind of sharing. People come to the internet and push the post button to share parts of themselves that they've never told anyone about. I'm tired of hiding this, so know that it's out. I have a son. He'll be 2 this year. My husband's gone. My dearest friend moved away. I really don't know what to do with myself. I'll never be happy with what I have because I don't really know what I want. I got shot 3 years ago and I never told anyone. I've always wanted to major in dance. I just want you to know that I'm gay. I'm finally coming out of the closet. Please don't judge me. When I read these posts, they're more poignant, like real pieces of people that I know are shining through. Even though making this podcast and publishing it online goes against my nature as a fairly private person, I've never given myself the space to question why I want to share these intimate moments with the world. But then one day, I receive an email. I'm currently 28, and my 20s have been a bunch of ups and downs. Being a gay Bostonian. It's from a listener who has a secret he's never told anyone, but he's reaching out because he wants to tell his secret to the world using Millennial. I almost immediately want to tell him no. Millennial isn't a podcast about telling people secrets. It's a podcast about coming of age and going through your 20s. But then I stop myself. I realize that's exactly what I'm doing. This entire show has been about me sharing parts of my life that I've never shared before. And I don't know why I feel comfortable doing it. Maybe by asking him why he wants to share himself with the world, I can understand why I'm doing the same thing. When I find out that he lives 2.5 hours from me, I grab my recorder and hop in the car.
Okay, where are we going? We're gonna go this way. Okay, let's see. Hi.
Nice to meet
you.
Really nice to meet you.
Even though we're strangers, we hug like we're old friends. And actually, we're more similar than I could have predicted. He looks like he could be my age, even though he's older. And he's mixed with a similar background as mine, white and Asian. After talking for a few minutes, it almost feels like we've known each other for years.
I always tell people when I go, like, I have a club name and then, like, a normal name. But, like, when I go out dancing and people are like, hey, what's your name? I'm like, Sophia. You know? And I'm like, I'm like, you ain't knowing my real name.
No, that's true.
Protect yourself.
Exactly.
I want to make him feel comfortable. So I tell him he doesn't have to use his real name for the podcast. And he chooses not to.
Okay, so what would you like to be called?
Charlie. I am Charlie.
Wait, why Charlie? Where'd this come from? I feel like you guys thought about this.
Yeah, I've always had a fascination with the name Charlie. I think with the Bostonian, it's always like, Charlie. So I've always loved it. Charles Dickens. I don't know. Charlie always likes to roll off my tongue very easily.
I kind of want to start like where, like your background.
Okay. Yeah. So my whole family is from Vietnam. So after the war, my mom at 19 went on the boat and then came to Boston and had me.
And how would you describe your mom? Like for some, like we're never going to meet her, yeah, you know, yeah. Like how would you describe her?
Very strong. Very, very strong. You know, she is the closest person to me.
Like, what was it like growing up with her?
It was, I felt like I had a secret and I wanted her to know because I wanted the support. I was 15. I remember that. So I was a sophomore. I said, I really think I'm gay. And she said, do you like boys? I said, I do think so, but I'm not sure. And she said, okay, well, if you're not sure, then don't tell anybody else. And she said, you know, just pretend like it doesn't happen.
What would you have wanted her to do?
To at least tell me it's okay. Yeah. To at least say, I don't know what to do, but you're still my son. Because I felt like to be her son, I had to be somebody else.
So Charlie did the only thing he could think of. He kept it to himself. How would you describe your out-of-the-house self versus like your in-the-house self?
Almost like a play in a way, you know? Like I'm setting it up to so I can have fun, so my friends can have fun. And when I get home, that's when the play stops. And, you know, the curtains close. And that's when you really have to struggle and just get through the night until the next day when you can put on the show that you want to happen.
Hi.
Hi, sorry.
Okay.
Con thăm mẹ có nói con thăm chút á. Mẹ có nói con thăm không?
Có.
Có, con chút mà. Mai con bay đi Cali chơi.
Inside of the house, he was one person. Outside, he was someone else. As he grew up, Charlie had boyfriends and breakups and developed an entire social life that his family knew nothing about. And this went on for years. Even though compartmentalizing his life took a toll on him, Charlie just started to tell himself that this was the way things were going to be. But about 9 months ago, something happened. Something almost no one knows about.
So I went on Wednesday to do my checkup and I was at work on Friday when I got a voicemail. And I knew then. It's just like, you just know. He got my results. HIV came out positive. And that was really painful to hear. I saw myself as that person that is single at a bar because he's positive. I saw myself as someone growing older and not being able to have kids because I'm afraid of transmitting this to my own children. I saw myself dying earlier. I saw myself as the virus. Like, I am HIV. If I told my family and my friends and, you know, with my family that I'm gay and also with everyone that I'm positive, I was just going to lose all the support that I that they didn't want to be around me and that I was going to be alone.
When Charlie thought about sharing his secret, all he could think about was the negative reactions he would receive. The rejection.
44% of adults said they wouldn't be comfortable eating food prepared by someone with HIV. 21% said they think AIDS is a punishment for declining moral standards.
They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And that, my friend, is the cure for AIDS. It was right there in the Bible all along.
I should say that Charlie isn't alone. He's met someone, and now they live together. And Charlie's boyfriend is okay with his HIV positive status, even though he himself doesn't have HIV. But he hasn't told anyone until now. And this is what I wanted to ask him about.
Only one person knows, and now we know, and there are thousands of listeners who listen to this podcast, and they're going to know, why did you want to reach out to us?
And I want to be bigger than it. I want to be better than being HIV positive. It's still a secret, but I want to be owning it rather than being HIV owning me.
After I leave Charlie's house, that idea rolls around in my head for weeks. Were we taking control of our lives by admitting the deepest, darkest pieces about ourselves for the whole world to hear? I start to wonder if the reason I made millennial was because I was afraid of growing up. And by forcing those fears out into the open, it made me face them. When I read confessional posts on the internet, even when I've never met the person, it feels like someone is taking off a mask and revealing a truer part of themselves to me. I feel closer to them. After hearing Charlie's secret, I feel that same way about him. Even though we've only met once and we may never meet again, in that one interaction, I feel like we have a whole understanding of each other. But I worry that you won't feel as close to him. Because even though he's telling you a secret, he's also hiding behind another. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
I have some more questions. When I was listening to our conversation, and one of the things that you said is that you didn't want to be controlled by HIV anymore, I was just like, is it still controlling you if you hide behind an anonymous name?
Yeah, in a way it is. It definitely is. I feel like because I'm still hiding from it, it's still something that I can't fully jump into. You know, I want to keep it contained. It's controlling me, but it's more me trying to contain it. You know, I think right now that is why I would prefer a pseudonym.
I also wonder if, like, you would be able to connect to millennial if I was anonymous.
I don't think I would have reached out if it wasn't your personality and if it wasn't you.
If you didn't know there was Megan Tan behind millennial.
Yeah. If it was a stranger or someone that I really didn't feel, you know, secure with, that wouldn't be an option for me. Because honestly, the one reason why I did send it to you, it's just because I felt a connection. Like, she seems really sincere.
Do you think that if you told the people who are closest to you about HIV, that you would be that person for them?
I never really thought of it that way. That position, the one that you're in, to me, I don't think I have enough to step into yet. That role isn't available yet.
Why not?
I guess I am. Well, I know that I am still very scared. Right now I'm shaking. It's terrifying to face this fear. Because once I open that door up, I think there's no holding back. Like, there's no more doors. There's nothing left, you know, to hide.
Is that the end goal, though?
It would be the end goal. But taking that step is just... It's still... Like, I can feel it in my core. It's still just... I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. And hopefully I get there. And I think I just realized that now. I just... noticing that I'm still not ready yet.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very okay. Charlie tells me that telling you his secret is like writing a message, putting it into a bottle and throwing it into the ocean. And right now, he's not ready to put his name on that message. This message is signed anonymous. When we publish our secrets for the world to see, it's like we're tucking messages into bottles and tossing them into the ocean. It's hard to know what will happen to them once they're out of our hands. They may get lost in the swirling waves, sink to the bottom, or wash up on shore thousands of miles away. If someone does uncork the bottle, it's possible that inside they will find a piece of us. My bottled messages are in this podcast, and every single time I send them out, I come out on the other side a little different than the person who I was the night before.
I think that you've become healthier. And I think you realize that it's okay to be open with, like, the intimate parts of your life, and that that actually helps other people. And, like, that's the way that you can help people, is, like, by being honest and open. Like, they can relate and be empowered by that.
When I release these messages, I don't think about the people who will find them. I think about what I'm going to write down and what I'll toss into the world. Sharing intimate moments of my life takes a lot of practice. But the hope is, with enough practice sending messages out to sea, I'll take those same messages and I'll share them with the people who are closest to me, and open up a door for them to do the same. Because in this noisy online world, there is room for us to feel closer than we physically are. Editing help for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor and Ben Severance. Production assistance was provided by Cindy Lee. The voices that you heard in this piece were Olivia Gunn, Philip Kotashevsky, Dan Lizette, and Lauren Spohr. Also, special thanks to Charlie and his partner Andrew for opening up their lives and letting us share this experience. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, like podcasts without the vowels, on Facebook and on Instagram. Also, if you want to give Millennial a high five, rate us on iTunes. And if you want to know when the next show is going to drop, go to millennialpodcast.org, scroll down to the bottom, and sign up for the newsletter. If you want to support the show, become a sponsor. Just email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Millennial is a proud member of
Radiotopia.
It feels so good to say that. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Thanks again to Squarespace for supporting the show. Squarespace, share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, two L's, two N's, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad serving platform to Radiotopia.